הנתיבות שלו מפרשת כי תבוא, and the subject is the first words of the parsha, והיה כי תבוא אל הארץ, and it will be when you come to the land. So the pasuk says, והיה כי תבוא אל הארץ אשר השם אלוקיך נותן לך. It will be when you come to the land that Hashem your God gives you. אין והיה אלא לשון שמחה. The word והיה, it says in the פסיקתא דרב כהנא, והיה is a term for happiness. השמחה הגדולה ביותר. And when it refers to happiness, it refers to exuberation, the greatest happiness. So the greatest happiness, היא כשאדם מגיע לתכלית יהודו ותפקידו בעולמו. When a person realizes his potential, when a person comes to fulfilling his job in the world, when a person reaches that point where he feels, I'm doing what I should be doing, I've lived my whole life to be doing this, that's the greatest happiness. The order of the parashiyos is that initially it says, Ki tetze lamilchama, when you go out to war. And then our parasha goes, when you come to the land. We begin with when you go out, and then when you come. And the idea is, the way we explain in Parshas Ki Tse, in these Parshiot, we find three times the concept of going out to war. The Torah describes three times different aspects, different laws of going out to war. And here we have an allusion to three concepts of going out to war against our eternal enemy, that's the desire to do evil. If we go back two parashiyos ago, in Parashas Shoftim, the verse says, when you go out to war against your enemy, you'll see horses, chariots, a nation that numbers much more than you. There, the Torah is really alluding to the war a person has with his desires over things that are prohibited. That's why the Torah describes it as horses, chariots. שהיצר הרע בענייני איסור ופגמים מתלבש עם כל המרכבה של הסדרה להכשיל האדם. The yetzer hara, when it comes to things that are prohibited, to blemishes, so then he dresses himself with all the chariots of the other side to cause a person to stumble. עם רב ממך, it seems like a nation that outnumbers you. כמובן בתורת אבות שהעם רב הם... I don't know what this acronym is. Nezer HaKdusha, maybe. Sheyatzu levatala mimecha, nitzutzot HaKdusha. The sparks of holiness. In Hasidut, in Kabbalah, they describe the idea of sparks. And there are sparks of holiness that are emanated, and those sparks can either develop into a full-fledged flame of holiness, or else they could be caught by what's called the other side, the Sitra Acha, and used to develop the other side. Sparks are potentials. So when we speak about the nation that outnumbers you, so it says in the work Torat Avot that this nation that outnumbers you is the sparks of holiness that a person gave off or not. Ritzono lomar v'naflu leklipot, and then they were caught by what's called the peel, the external. V'hem alochamim ket negdecha, and then they come to haunt the person. Suddenly there are things that he has to conquer. So that he described in Shoftim. He's not going into that. If you think I know what he's talking about, I might have an idea, but I don't know. I'd have to also look over there and see over there he elaborates. Then in the beginning of last week's parasha, it says, the second description of war, when you go out to war against your enemy. Your God will give him in your hands, and you'll take his captives. This is like our sages taught, this is a voluntary war. Upirush, upashu rabbeinu akdoshim zchutam yagen adeinu, d'mrumaz al milchemet hayetzer b'inyanei heter v'rashut. That here the Torah is talking about the internal struggle a person has when it comes to things that are permitted, kadesh atzmecha b'mutar lecha, where a person has to sanctify himself in the areas that are permitted. I'm allowed to eat, it's not prohibited, I could eat as much as I want. Yes, but is that what the Torah wants of you, to live a life where you're eating as much as you want? And then we have the third description of war, And that is, in the middle of last week's parsha, it says, when you go out in camp, in war against your enemy, v'nishmata mikol davar ra, watch yourself from anything that's bad. Dehainu yitziya lemilchama, gam al inyanei eruvim asurim. That's a reference to going out to war, also on improper thoughts. K'ma'amar chazal, shelo ya'arer adam bayom, our sages taught, a person should not let his mind wander and have improper thoughts by day, and then he'll find himself defiled at night. So we have three descriptions of war in the last two parashiyot. And you find every time the Torah describes a war, the Torah describes you going out to war. The Torah doesn't introduce it with when you fight a war against your enemies, but rather when you go out to war against your enemies. The inyanon, the idea is, kedita basfarim achdoshim, shetida ki yitziyatcha le'olam hazeh hi lemilchama. The idea is that we have to know, we were put in this world to go out to war. If you came here and you thought, I'll just sit back, pick up my feet, and have a good time, that's not what you were put here for. The idea is we're supposed to fight a battle. Shenishmatcha mimakom kadosh chutzva. Your soul was quarried, was cut out, from a holy place, mitachat lekiseh kavod, from under the heavenly throne, v'yaldam mimakom gavoah, and it came down from a place up there, the makom namuch, to this low place down here, yiridat, came down here, letzorach aliyah, for the purpose of uplifting it. Our goal is to conquer, our goal is to win the war, to uplift our neshama. Hayetziyah hazot, this that we go out to war, hi mitoch tafkid v'ilachem im ha'oyev, v'nevesh atzar atzorer. We have to go fight the enemy. We have to fight against that enemy that's trying to take us down. The etzem ha-mavak v'ha-milchama, and we have to know, the idea of the war is not like the wars we think of where you go to a war, you won it in 6 days, you celebrate. No. The idea is it's a lifelong war. The mere fact that we're struggling, that we're in this war, hu yi'ud v'tefkid gadol v'kadosh bo'olamo shel yehudi. It is a purpose, it is a great job and a holy job in the world of the Jew. He is giving the fact that he is struggling. Sometimes we think, today I lost, tomorrow I won. You know, I haven't won the war. How come I'm not where I want to be in life? I know God wants more of me, but I'm not there yet. But wait a second. The mere fact that you're trying, says the mere fact that you're struggling, you're attempting, that's already something that up above, God is happy with. Shenitava kadosh baruch hu she'elo dira batachtonim. We have to know this is a concept in all of Torah. God wanted to have a place to live down below. Angels, there are enough in heaven. If God put us down here, then God knew we wouldn't be angels. We're not perfect. But that's exactly the point. That's our potential. God wants us to sanctify His name. God wants us to win in this struggle. Well, part of winning is struggling. And some days we're stronger, and some days we're weaker. But so long as we're trying to move forward, we're doing our job. Shavodah hazot lo shayechet lemalachim nisrafim. Angels don't have struggles. They're on their level, and they don't go down, and they don't go up. They're there. They're high up there, but they're there. We human beings, that's our job, to advance. But you know what? Advancing is a struggle. K'ma'amar maran bavazaya al ma'amar chazan, כשם שכילוסו של הקדוש ברוך הוא עולה מצדיקים שבגן עדן, כך כילוסו עולה מרשעים שבגיהנום, שמצננים את גיהנום בדימותיהן. He said the following thought. Just as, it says that just as God's praise comes from the righteous in the Garden of Eden, so too God's praise comes out from the wicked in perdition, that their tears cool off perdition. The praise of God from the righteous is from their service, from their learning Torah. The idea is, what does it mean God's praise comes up from the tears that fall down on the coals in perdition, and as they cool the coals off, that's praise to God. What's the praise? The idea is, it's a reference to the people who have tremendous desires burning within them. And they try, and they fail. They live a life that's wicked. But even a wicked person has attempts at being good. And those attempts are like tears that drop on a coal. The coal is still burning. But every time the tear sizzles, it cools it off a drop. That's also praise to God. Don't think the praise to God is only the righteous sitting in the Garden of Eden who made it. The praise to God is also from those tears, the drops. But there are drops. There's an attempt. The person tried. And he tried, he made an attempt and cooled off the coal a certain amount. That's also praise. This is the concept that we're describing, that up above God has naches. God says they're trying, they're struggling, they're making their attempt. Where ours is not to conclude the battle. Ours is to maintain the battle. Adam and after a person walks away victorious from some of these battles, the war is never over. Life is one battle after another. But sometimes you win certain battles. Sometimes that's what the Torah describes. You go to war, and you do win the battle. God gives them in your hand. And sometimes a person can uproot certain evil from within. As mitkayem, then we come to our parsha, which is the fulfillment. It will be, remember we said the Medrash, whenever it says v'haya, Vaya is a description of joy that is exuberation, it's joy beyond belief. Yes, when a person has won a battle, when he knows, this point I conquered. Now I can move on to my next battle, but I've conquered something. Then he comes to the point of exuberation. Now he's happy, he comes to the land. If you want an allegory, we could compare it to a guy who takes a faraway business journey. And he wants to make a huge profit. As he's traveling, there are dangers. There are swindlers, there are pirates. There are all kinds of dangers as he travels to make his mint. And when he finally comes back in peace, he knows there are still more business trips. There are more dangers. But he knows that right now he finished one challenge in his life. He's very happy. He rejoices. He makes a party. But then he has his sole purpose, which wasn't just to make the money. He crosses the Sahara and he wants to make a mint. Well, he's got to make the mint now. Now that he's crossed the Sahara, he's reached the other end of the world. He's managed to get by all the dangers. Now he's got to make the profit. That's what the Torah describes, again, allegorically. When you come to the land, when you've conquered the war, okay, you've subdued what's wrong from within. Now you have to take from the fruits of the land. The explanation is like it says in the work, Mesilat Yesharim, Shemidata Kedusha, Hi Lemala Memidata Tahara. We have Mesilat Yesharim builds how a person builds his traits. So most people should really stop after two chapters or maximum three, because like he's already telling our concepts that are way beyond this. But people read the whole work and it's a little bit misunderstood. People think they could apply it to their own lives and it's not right. I mean, he was talking about very high levels up to prophecy. We're not anywhere near there. But at any rate, he describes that there's the trait of purity, after which there's the trait of holiness. After purity, you could attain holiness. The inyan midat ha-tahara, the idea of purity, that's the capacity of a person to hold himself back and refrain from fulfilling his desires. Even in areas that are permitted. A person says, fine, I don't have to have all the pleasures I want. I can have it in a way that's controlled. It's not that I'm sinning, I'm not doing anything wrong, but I control my pleasure in this world. But the next level of holiness, that's the level that a person can take the things that he desires, the physical, the material, and he can uplift them. There's one person who sits down to eat and he's hungry, and he eats and he enjoys every morsel. There's another person that eats and he enjoys every morsel, and he says, how much do I have to eat? That's what I'll eat for the service of God. That's purity. Then you have a third person who says, how can I make this food holy in the way I eat it? It's not just a matter of containing myself. It's a matter of I'm going to eat the food in a way that I'm making the food holy. That's the purpose of this food, that it be eaten in a way of the service of Hashem. It's not that I sit down to eat and I'm hungry, I'm filling my materialistic desires, but I'll do it in a controlled fashion. That's purity. Uncontrolled, okay, he's not sinning, you're allowed to eat, it's kosher food. Controlled, that's purity. Sanctity, the capacity to make the food holy, to eat it in a holy fashion where my whole purpose, my focus when I'm eating it is not about my stomach, it's about my capacity to serve Hashem, etc., that's holiness. Shachilato kachilat korban bekodshim, his eating is like a sacrifice being served, ha'olim yot nachtruach la'kadosh bo, that those are brought forth, so to speak, to give pleasure to God. And a person like that, he himself is like the altar in the temple. So we said these are high level. But it's nice to know they exist, right? We could aspire, we could think about how we can get close to that. A person has to know on his own strengths can't attain that level. But he has to attempt. The sof matanam min hashamayim. And ultimately, if he makes it, that's because they've helped him from above. So that's what the Misrat Yishrim writes. Al b'china zom humaz, and that's what's alluded to here, where the Torah says, "V'lakachta mereshit kol pri adama," take from the first fruit. Pri adama, fruit of the earth, that's a reference to the inyanim ha'otzim ha'mgushamim, that's the physical. Shekmo sheyesh pra... Okay, so I think we'll pick up here next time. Okay. Say. Yes, sir.
Just from what we just read, but I think what we're saying is that it's our task to struggle and battle, not necessarily win. The winning is in the hands of Hashem, right?
So I think the idea that he said is there are three types of wars. When we go out to war, when we go out to conquer, we have to know that there's a war where we're trying to cover the most physical aspects of our desires. Then there's a war where we try to cover Milchem Tarashut, we try to conquer more being able to control things even in the territory that's permitted. And then there's the war that's... then there's the war that a person's controlling his thoughts. Not only his actions, but also that his thoughts are proper thoughts. In all these battles, we have to know our job is to battle. Our job is to consistently try to get better. And part of battling is that sometimes you're on the up, sometimes you're on the down, but you keep trying to advance. Now, a person will have certain battles that he conquers. At some point in his life, he could know, I no longer do X, now I can move on to the next battles, but I've concluded the battle about a certain point. A certain point in a person's character, a person, a certain point, a certain weakness a person has. That's when he hits our parsha, Vaya Kitabo. He, Vaya, point of joy, Kitabo, because he's coming to the land, he's coming to a point where he could now reap the benefits, take the fruits of the toil that he's worked. He's conquered that aspect. A person has to know, life is a lifelong battle, it's a lifelong war, but you could conquer certain battles. And the mere fact that we're struggling, we're working to move forward, that's already something. Just like we say, the wicked, even though they've been wicked, but they've had the moments where they've tried, and those tears are like tears dropping on the coals, that in and of itself is praise before Hashem. So we have to look positively at ourselves. We shouldn't look and say, well, I haven't yet succeeded, I'm not yet here, I'm not yet there. But quite the contrary, we should say, hey, I'm trying, I'm advancing, I'm struggling. So some days I do better, some days I do worse, fine, that's part of the struggle. The mere fact that I'm struggling, I'm already doing good. In Milz Hashem, I'll reach a point where I win the battle. He said, when we speak about the highest levels, when we speak about the capacity to be able to eat, and my eating is like a korban, that I myself am so holy, it's like the food I eat, and I don't even think of myself. Anything materialistic is just a way of serving God. How do I uplift it through eating? That, he says, is something that can be aspired to, but it's not in our control to attain or not. We need God's help to attain that level of holiness.
For that level.
We
need God's help.
Right. But on other points, so that's our job.
So what would distinguish between one person and another who gets the help to win? Like, what is like the prerequisite in order to get God's help, so to speak?
I don't know.
It's like whoever he chooses, sort of. If he sees your struggling is true, or...
We say that in general, if a person tries, God helps. God says, you take the first step and I'll help you from there. you open to me, you open for me, like the eye of a needle, and I will open for you like the widest and tallest gates on the Temple Mount. God says, you just got to start. If you start, I'll help you. And maybe we'll end, I'll tell you a nice story. I told the guys on the way back from the Kotel that different guys here in Machon Meir over the years have had different stories. And I once thought to write a book of the stories, because they're amazing stories. So there was a guy here who, his parents got divorced when he was a kid, and he ran away from home, he didn't get along with the family, and he grew up in the circus. Grew up literally going with the circus all around the world. And he learned,
how old was he?
Like 13 or 14 when he ran away from home. And he learned the tricks of the trade, he learned how to make a lot of money in the circus. There's a lot of black money in the circus. And he was raking in a lot of money, and he knew how to spend the money. And at one point, I don't remember the details, but his friends convinced him to do something, and he was caught. And his life reached a point where he said, what's my life worth? You know, I'm not getting anywhere in my life. And he came back home, and he sat in whatever apartment he was in, and he came back to the place where he had grown up. He came for a visit, and he sat there thinking about life, and he started weeping. And he sat down on the floor, it was a Friday morning, just weeping, saying, you know, what's my life going to amount to? So I'll run the carnival another 20 years, and what kind of life will I have? Where am I going with my life? And when all of this hit, he just sat there for hours weeping. And at some point, he lifted his eyes to heaven and he said, God, if you're up there, talk to me. What do you want for my life? And then the phone rang. And friend tells him, this is the way he told me the story. Friend calls him, he says, look, we'll call him Jack. He says, Jack, it's not his real name. He says, Jack, I came back from Israel. I was in this amazing place called Machon Meir. I learned about how you do a Shabbos meal. We're getting together all the old guys, the old friends from when we were kids. Come for a Shabbos meal. Come see what it's about. And the rest is history. Went to Machon Meir. So the guy just opened the eye of a needle. He said, sometimes that's all it takes. God says, you try. You take your first footsteps. I'll walk with you the rest of the way. And that doesn't mean that we always see God in our lives. The difficulty in life is that sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes it seems like everything's getting in the way. But at the end of the day, Hashem says, you try, I'll help you. Habalit tahir, someone comes to purify himself, Nisayinu. They help him from above. So, tov, lailatov.